Welcome to Manager Tools. How to scan a resume, part four. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. How do I scan a resume? What do I look for on a resume? How do I decide whom to phone interview? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
The most important thing a manager does for his or her company is effective hiring. Effective hiring makes managing that much easier. And most managers don't know how to hire. They don't know how to structure an interview. They don't know how to ask questions. And they don't know how to listen and take notes and make a determination. At our Effective Interviewer Conference, we'll teach you how to structure your day, how to structure each interview, how to structure questions, how to ask the questions, how to listen to answers, how to take notes, and how to follow up to make sure you're making the right call. All in Manager Tool style, which is to say practice, 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 practice. Please come see us at the website and look up the Effective Interviewer Conference. Come to a city in the United States and Europe soon.
So, Wendy, we're knee deep into or thigh deep into how to scan a resume. And there's a lot here, right? We've already talked about how to look at titles, some consideration in terms of looking at dates, companies, what to look for there, career progression, responsibilities. And now we're on to, which I think is the big kahuna, which is accomplishments.
Accomplishments. They're definitely my favorite. Definitely the thing that tells you the most about the candidate.
The saffron of resumes, as Mark often says.
Yeah. The whole point of a resume is to tell the person who is potentially hiring what you've done and how well you did it. And that's what accomplishments are.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me. That is one of the purposes of the resume, the purpose of a resume. And it is amazing to me the number of people who don't have accomplishments on there. They have responsibilities. We talked about responsibilities last time. They have lots of bullets with responsibilities they've gotten. And it used to be, I think this is true. Maybe, I don't know, maybe in your experience is different, but I have this thing in my head that if there were a bullet in a resume, it would be an accomplishment. That's what bullets meant. Like if I saw a bullet, it was an accomplishment. And today that's not true. I see a lot of resumes that bullets are responsibilities. Almost as if I'm being misled. Maybe they don't mean it that way, but it's funny. So I don't think it's sufficient anymore to just look for bullets. Apparently bullets don't mean what I think they mean.
That's true. So you can't just look at a bullet and assume that that's going to be an accomplishment. If you make that mistake, you look at the resume, know that the accomplishments are typically indicated by bullets, read a responsibility, and assume that it is an accomplishment. And then you give the person credit where there's no credit due.
Right. Yeah. In my career, I've been responsible for a lot of things and I didn't do them particularly. I mean, I may not have done them at all or particularly well, right? So just having the responsibility doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Like lead customer service team. Okay. It's just a responsibility. It doesn't tell you nothing about how well they did it. So, and when we see managers do this, we worry not just because of the tactic that they're just reading the bullets, taking them as accomplishments, and giving the person credit as a tactic. But there's also a strategy that they're employing, which is assuming positive when the positive really isn't there to be assumed, or they're looking for strengths. And they're assuming that this sentence, because the person's put it on their resume, because it says they lead the customer service team, well, they must be proud of it, and therefore it must be a good accomplishment. And therefore, that must be something that they're strong at. But All of that is a lot of assumptions built on each other. And the whole point of resume screening is to say no. And so what you want is a negative confirmation bias. And that's probably the most important thing that there is about resume screening, that you have to be able to take the worst case of any sentence. So for example, with the dates is the easiest to see this. If the dates say 2014 to 2015, that could mean anything from January 2014 to December 2015, or it could mean December 2014 to January 2015. As a person screening resumes, you need to think, oh, it must be the shorter, because otherwise you're assuming something that's not in evidence. And the fact that the person hasn't specified means you can only assume the minimum. And that's what people are doing. They're assuming the best, and then you get disappointed when the candidates come in.
Yeah, it's almost like when you're looking at a resume and scanning a resume, you're almost like the nastiest trial lawyer there ever was, right? You're just tearing this thing apart, looking for holes in the argument. As a manager, we realize that somebody's trying to put their best foot forward, right? And so if, for example, they weren't employed between January and October of 2014, they may in fact put 2014 through 2015, hoping to get by and not have to explain that long period of unemployment. And like, I believe in general, people are honest. It's not dishonest completely to say 2014, because of course they were employed in October, November, and December. It's just not the full facts. And so when you realize that people are trying to put their best foot forward, you have to work like a trial lawyer and really tear these things apart. And making assumptions is the first thing that's going to get you in trouble. So what are kind of the rules or we can apply when looking at accomplishments in a resume?
Well, the first thing to ask yourself is it an accomplishment? And we just talked about things that are responsibilities or things that don't tell you about an accomplishment. So you want to screen out anything that could be a responsibility masquerading as an accomplishment, even whether it's got bullets or not. So anything that starts responsible for is probably a responsibility. You can make an accomplishment from it, but it's hard. But 99% of the time, that's going to be a responsibility. And managers sometimes say, oh, but this person, he's put these responsibilities because he was trying to show that he had responsibilities outside of the normal parameters for that role. And that may be true, but it's unlikely because that responsibility would be in the responsibilities paragraph. There's nothing when you're creating a resume that says your responsibilities paragraph has to describe the standard role. It has to describe your role.
Right. Well, I think the other thing is that statement is probably more indicative of the screener's confirmation bias, right? The problem you talked about earlier than it is statement of fact. So in this particular case, the manager is making an assumption, right? They're looking at the resume. They haven't even talked to the person yet. So they're trying to get in their head and say, well, if I said this, what would I be thinking? And that's a sheer route to failure when looking at resumes.
Especially if you think about what I would be doing or I would be thinking, I always think the best. So you're assuming what would be in your mind when you think that you're perfect, because we all think we're perfect, whereas the candidate doesn't think the same way as you do. The next one you have to be careful of is manage. You can't assume anything about managed other than it's a responsibility.
So you're talking about a sentence in the resume that says something like, managed a team of 15 programmers.
Yeah, or managed a certain project. Those kind of things, they're responsibilities. You're responsible for managing a project. It doesn't tell you anything about the achievement. It doesn't tell you that it was on time or on budget or in scope or, you know, any of the things that are important for projects or that your team did well by whatever metric is used for them. And then sometimes that you can assume things about the number of people that people manage. So if they managed 15 people and the role you're requiring only requires 8, that's still not an accomplishment. It's worth noting relative to the responsibilities, but managing is so different in so many different organizations that 15 versus 8, you can't know what the difference is. All the similarities.
Right. And we're talking about accomplishments here. You know, again, managing 15 people or managing 8 people or managing 100 people means nothing without the accomplishment, right? What did you do? What are the results you achieved?
Yeah. And this is one of the best examples of that subtlety of looking at responsibilities and accomplishments on a resume. Because suppose someone has managed 15 people and the managerial role for which you're screening has 8 direct reports. And previously, your firm had some managers that struggled with moving from 4 directs to 8. And so you're inclined to look at those 15 directs and say, check, like they have the managerial competence to manage the number of people that I think they're going to be managing. But it's wrong. It's a wrong move because the number of people supervised is an excellent accomplishment, but it has to be done well. You can manage 15 people really badly and still put on your resume, manage 15 people.
Right. And so you would look for things like manage 15 people with and some accomplishments, right? Delineated by exceeding some standard. Hopefully you'd see a number related to that standard and what they did relative to that standard, or, you know, some adjectives around how well they did it.
Yeah, exactly. So the number of people supervised is not, you cannot assume in any way that that's an accomplishment. And there's a couple of reasons for that. So first, the one I just mentioned. First, you have no idea what the average span of control was at the firm they were managing. 15 might be small where they are. And perhaps all those directs were doing identical work where your role requires aggregation of work from different specialists, which is a harder team to manage. Typical average spans of control are larger. When individual work is similar, you can manage more people doing call center work than you can if you have a team of specialists, all of whom do different work. So the span of control isn't easily compared across organizations. So again, you cannot assume that just because they were managing 15 people, that they will be able to manage your 8. And then, of course, if they're managing a high number of people, but don't list a specific accomplishment relative to that responsibility, they're hiding that they did not do the job well. Because if they had, they'd have listed that specific accomplishment related to encouraging high performance and retention. And people get a little bit hung up on the fact that we're saying like they're hiding something or they're not telling the truth or whatever. And one of the things I learned when I was interviewing or giving people feedback on resumes is the word demonstrated. So they may not be hiding something, but they're not demonstrating the truth. They're not demonstrating that they actually had an accomplishment on their resume. And all you can judge by is what's actually written on the resume, not what you assume.
Yeah, I think it took me a while to get past this as well, because I generally believe that people are honest, and it hurts me a little bit. But I learned that for the purposes of evaluating resumes, even though they're not necessarily trying to hide something, if I'm going to be effective in this process, I have to take the position that they could be. They have the burden of the responsibility to show the actual accomplishments, right? That's not my responsibility. It's their responsibility. And so two things could be true. One, they could have no accomplishments and therefore they're hiding it. Or secondly, they have accomplishments and they have just failed to demonstrate them on the resume. In either case, I have no choice but to skip on this person, right? Because I have too many resumes to get through, and I don't have the time to be the detective and try to find the nugget in that resume.
Exactly. You said it better than I did. Okay, so next thing is, if you've decided that something is an accomplishment, then the next question is it a noteworthy accomplishment? So there's some accomplishments that are technically accomplishments, but they're kind of damning with faint praise. So things like you completed a project on time, on budget, on schedule, but it's in scope, but it's like a 2-week project and there was only you in it, right? Yeah, technically that's an accomplishment, but it's really not project management if you want project management skills, right? It's something that most everybody could manage.
Right.
So even if we learn to say no to resumes that have responsibilities disguised as accomplishments, because this person is not accomplished, we can still be swayed with one that has accomplishments, but that aren't notable enough to suggest a top performer. So for instance, people who've achieved a quarterly goal, right? They have a quarterly goal set for them and they achieved it. And it is always good to achieve a goal, but it's also true that someone who didn't achieve the goal would be putting their job at risk. Basically, achieving that goal is the minimum requirement for that job. And so achieving that goal simply means that in the group that aren't at risk for losing their job. And that doesn't really inspire you to think that they're a top performer. But that is not the standard we're hoping to get from our candidates.
Yeah. So for an accomplishment to be worthy of note, it would include some indicator of uniqueness, right? That they've gone above and beyond simply achieving the role's set standards, but they've achieved something notable, right? Worthy of taking note.
Exactly.
I think that's probably a pretty general rule, right? When looking at accomplishments, kind of generally, like meeting a standard of a job isn't very much of an accomplishment. I think you've talked about reasons why that would. That just meeting a standard can't be really considered noteworthy, I think, in terms of accomplishments.
Yes. And sometimes people have things that indicate that they are a better than standard performer on their resume. So like only one, top 10%, number one, president's circle, if that can be qualified, are indicators that someone was a relative outperformer. And so you want to look for those special qualifiers that separate excellence from just keeping one's job. And I don't like things like top 10% on resumes. If I was writing it, I would write something specific. Like if you're in the top 10% of salesmen, then how did you do against your goal? Because you could be in the top 10% and everybody else could be rubbish. But if that is on the resume, because they don't listen to me, then you can use that as a separator.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, lack of those kind of things would suggest that it's not notable.
Exactly. Yeah. So next is it an unmeasurable accomplishment? So this is another one that people use a lot because they can't quantify their accomplishments. And so they use things that can't be quantified, which are usually not the things that they're judged on as relative to their performance. So they make it sound as if the candidate did well, but if you're an accomplished resume screener, they not only are negative, they just leave you with this kind of bad taste. I count resumes in positive and negative points. And like if somebody is having those unmeasurable accomplishments, they start to get minus points. So for example, noted for. So people like to tell you that they've been noted for something. I saw one recently that was noted for mentoring new employees through the induction process, which is okay, but there's a difference between that and or the boss saying, well done, you did that well, which is what noted for means, and that same boss describing a specific result on the annual performance review as something that set you apart. Now, if you mentored some new employees and you made them feel welcome, they knew more or less what they were supposed to be doing, it's not really something that your boss would note on your performance review, especially if you're in a environment where there are lots of quantified accomplishments. If you're giving that one, it means you didn't accomplish any of the others.
Yeah, so I think like an example you share, like one is your boss saying one day, hey, that was good. And the other, we'll say another example is something where you did something so well that your boss put it on your annual review and said something along the lines that, this really set her apart from the others. Both those examples could be correctly cited as noted for, right? Noted for whatever, right? But only one of them is exceptional relative to screening process, right? So again, so just a simple noted for X really doesn't say much, right? It could be something important or something not important. So I think it's a good one to look for.
Another one is handpicked, which people like to use a lot. Handpicked by the VP of something to run this project.
Handpicked out of a group of one. Excellent.
Yeah, exactly. Well done. But how does anybody else get their job apart from being picked? It's just silly. I don't know why. I understand why people are proud of it, but they don't think about the flip side of, how that could be read if you were reading it negatively, like a trial lawyer.
I guess that's kind of similar to noted for, because handpicked could, in fact, be an exceptional accomplishment. For example, I know Mark. So Mark Horseman, when we were served in the Army together, he was picked to be the aide of the commanding general, right? And he turned it down. Not the greatest career move ever. So that's a different thing. But he was handpicked, and it was competitive. I mean, he was handpicked, and he had to compete against 20 or 30 other people that had been, submitted by their respective battalions and brigades. So the fact that he was handpicked to be the general's aide, pretty significant. Now, had he say handpicked, assuming I didn't know him, I would have gone like, yeah, so what? But in fact, it wasn't. Exactly. So again, it's a matter of making the accomplishment clear and measurable. You know, handpicked, you know, selected from the 30 top lieutenants in the division to be the general's aide or something along those lines.
Or if he had actually done the job, he would put an accomplishment of how well he did that job, because that's far more important than the fact that somebody picked him.
Right. Yeah. In this case, he probably wouldn't have mentioned it, because then he'd have to say, I turned it down because I'm an idiot. Okay. So what's another one?
So here's another one. Significant. So sometimes achievements are significant and you know it when you read it, because you see the dollar amount or the size or the customer or whatever, and relative to that person's position and the company they're in, you can see that it's significant. You know, sometimes number one qualifies, best qualifies, it's not as good as number one, but without some other qualifier or some other information that's quantifiable, significant doesn't mean anything. And it's a red flag of a likely accomplishment inflation. So people say significant to make you think that it is significant, but unless they have the evidence, it's not significant. And this counts for nearly every adjective that you see on a resume. That's why I don't like adjectives on resumes.
Like important, right?
Yeah, or singular or novel, which you can only use if you're creating patents. But, you know, those kind of things, if there's an adjective, it's probably not a good accomplishment or not as good. So here's another one. Important, right? You just said, if something's important, then you should know it's important by reading it.
Right. The nature of the accomplishment itself would suggest that it was important.
Yeah. If you have to name something as important or significant or notable or worthy or any other adjective, you're almost surely proving that it isn't. So, for example, if you said noted for significant performance as NBA All-Star in 2016, don't need all that stuff, right? The fact that you're an All-Star, it tells us everything we need to know about how important it was and how many people you competed against and all of those kind of things.
Yeah, it's like Neil Armstrong, right? Nothing in his I'm sure he doesn't have a resume. It kind of speaks for itself. But if he had a resume, he wouldn't say achieve a significant accomplishment by being the first man to land on the moon, walk on the moon. No. It's like, right? Yeah, I think just I walked on the moon would probably be okay.
Enough. His one sentence resume as opposed to one page. So any qualification without quantification is inherently suspect. If there's something without a quantification, you just have to believe there's not a quantification for a reason, and the reason is it's not impressive. So if you need some more convincing, here's an accomplishment. And then while we pause for a second, you can think about what you really know about this accomplishment that I'm going to read and how good it is.
And this is a real accomplishment too. You're going to read off something.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen things like this a million times, but this is a specifically one off of a resume you've recently seen.
Yeah. So noted for significant contribution to the department's quarterly performance. Yeah. Like, so what do you know, right? Someone noted. So that person could have brought the coffee, which was a contribution, and it is significant because, you know, coffee fuels everything. And somebody said, hey, thanks for the coffee. I'm glad you always have it ready for us.
Right.
And that probably isn't what they were trying to say.
Well, yeah. Or in fact, maybe they contributed very strongly to the department's quarterly performance, but in fact, it was bad.
Right? Yeah, that too. Yeah. So that's why you can't look at these accomplishments and read them. Clearly, the person who wrote that wanted you to think or maybe believes that they made a really good contribution to the performance, but they're not demonstrating it on their resume. They're giving you a bunch of adjectives that don't really tell you very much.
Yeah. Now, I think people would accuse of taking a very cynical view on some of this, right? And that's true, right? But we've seen so many resumes that's all there is. You know, at some point you have to take a cynical view of this stuff. And there's exceptions to this cynicism, right? If I'm looking at a resume that has just a number of qualified accomplishments, right? And occasionally there's something thrown in there that doesn't go into the level of quantification that we normally see, but it's in the context of a resume that does, then I'm okay with that. The level of quantification that they've done throughout the resume, it will assume it's excellence, right? That it gives those qualified assertions credibility. But lacking that quantification is problematic.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have like, say, a marketing manager with a team spread across Europe, he has all of these like campaigns that he developed and they increase the sales of products and all of those things are quantified. And then at the bottom, you have something like ambassador for the SAP rollout for HR. Well, it probably is a good accomplishment, but it's not, because it's not quantified, it doesn't really tell you very much about whether or not that person did it well. But the fact that they have a bunch of really good, significant, really good quantified accomplishments probably means that that ambassadorship was significant in some way.
That's right. And again, I stated earlier, I mean, it is true, right? I mean, it is true that someone unskilled in resume creation could have an inestimable career, and you know, it's simply their clumsiness in terms of writing resumes that obscures it, and that's true. It could, in fact, be true. But again, remember two things. One, at this stage, we're looking for reasons to rule people out, and at this point, we're also not evaluating the person; we're evaluating their resume, because in fact, that's all we have at this point.
Yeah. Don't think about people when you're reading resumes.
Yeah, and it's really an issue of how you're approaching the resume. If you start looking for these soft, unmeasurable, unquantified, quote-unquote, accomplishments, right, they're going to start jumping out at you. And you're going to make all sorts of assumptions about accomplishments. That's the problem here.
Yeah, and if you start seeing them, when you start seeing them, that's the point at which you know you're beginning to master the whole resume screening thing. And you'll think of so many resumes that you've seen that you allowed people to be interviewed, and now you'd rather have a do-over because you know that you saw unquantified accomplishments that were responsibilities, all of the things that we've flagged in this series, and you know that you interviewed that person and they were nowhere near right for the job.
Yeah, you mean managers make mistakes every once in a while?
They do. Just once in a while, though.
Yeah, so folks, if you've done this before, if you looked at resumes and after listening to this, you found yourself guilty of making all sorts of assumptions and seeing accomplishments where there are none, welcome to the club. it's a large club. And
it is.
You're now a member of it, as am I, as is Wendy. And Mark and just about everybody else. But this is part of your growth, learning these kind of skills.
Yeah. And this, it seems like we're taking a really long time to explain all this, and we are, but that doesn't mean that with some practice, you can't look at a resume and review it in 30 seconds. It just takes longer to explain. And once you've had some practice, once you see one accomplishment that isn't quantified and is a responsibility, and you start seeing all of them, then you look at a resume and you just go, okay, done. So even though it's taking us a long time to explain it, and you might feel like, oh my gosh, how am I going to think of all of this in, you know, the time I have to screen a resume? It won't take this long in practice.
Yeah, exactly. And then once you develop these skills and you can go through 200 resumes in an afternoon, like, which sounds just like incredible, right? But you can go through 200 resumes in an afternoon and whittle it down to a very small number versus what most people are. It's so hard to read resumes and they haven't developed those skills. They can't and won't read through 200. And if you can only get through 50 of them, that means 75% of the possible candidates that could be the best person for that role, you've not looked at. And that's scary, because what you want is the best person out of those 200. And if you only have two resumes to look at, then that's a different problem. But we'll talk about it at some point.
And then we'll carry on with this next week.
All right. We'll see you later.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.